Human origins, crop circles, UFOs, important theorists, and scientists in the field. Enter to win a free ticket at contactinthedesert.net. See you at Joshua Tree Retreat Center in August for Contact in the Desert. 760-365-8371.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our three-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Citizen Sane Radio. I'm Guy Weddle, and I'm joined by the wondrous, psychotic Sasha Christie in the UK.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon.
Yeah, whatever.
Wherever.
Whatever. So we are. We brought back Brett Oldham tonight. He was on about a month ago, and Sasha had some personal issues, could not be on the show, and I just winged it, pretty much. And I really wanted to bring him on, and especially bring him back on and go through the spend the first hour essentially just giving Sasha the mic and letting her pick Brett's experiences and that sort of thing. And then the second hour, I kind of went to get into the paranormal stuff that Brett does, because we had a good conversation after our last show, and he brought up a lot of cool stuff that I'd really like to talk about. How's that sound, Brett?
That sounds real good. That's why I brought Gina, my wife, along tonight. Thought she could probably give a little insight onto her side of things, as far as the abduction goes. And of course, she does all the we do all the paranormal work together. So,
right, okay, cool. Also, Sasha and I, we guest hosted on Christopher George's show, Second Sight New York City, last week, and we talked. It's actually on our CitizenSaneRadio.com if you want to listen to it. And it's on the archives on UPRN, but. We talked to a evangelical
PK Quarterman.
A evangelical preacher who wrote a book about UFOs and Nephilim and all that stuff and all that crazy stuff. And he's one of these guys that talks about he does literal translations of the Bible. And it was just it was fun, but it was just maddening talking to someone like that. I mean, it was just you know, you want to just do the facepalm the entire show, and I just had to shut up, you know, after a while.
Oh, no, I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spunked him in the end anyway, because he just wasn't making sense.
Yeah, like, you know, he says he doesn't believe in extraterrestrial life, and then, you know, the asteroid belt is Lucifer's destroyed planet. And,
yeah, it's, yeah,
and all
Lucifer
that.
Lives on another planet.
Yeah, all
like,
that.
So he's like another creature on another planet, and there are no aliens. Okay.
So everything was demonic then.
Yeah.
And it was just... you know, he goes, he's a biblical scholar and he's got a PhD and all that in biblical studies. But I look at things from a historical point of view, not from any ideology, not from like liberal or conservative or a different type of religion or something like that, because he went to college at probably a Bible college, and he's looking at Christianity through these rose colored glasses. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at it about how things really happened, and he's
in science and nature. And
yeah,
like
and yeah, and just, you know, how things evolved with Christianity, and you know, all the Gnostic sects and all that stuff, and all the different gospels. You know, there were like 30 of them or something like that, and
right.
Only 4 made it into the Bible. And he's like, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." I'm like, "Dude, whatever, man. I'm going to shut up now."
Yeah. That could be a whole show, because you get us going on that kind of thing. And
yeah, I know. You should go listen to it.
You know, it takes like forever to go over them, but because we run into that stuff all the time with the paranormal work that we do, you know, especially dealing with the ITC stuff and, you know, the spirit communication and you just wouldn't believe the things that we've been told. And of course, as I'm sure you guys are aware, that, you know, you run into that same exact excuse for the abduction scenario as well, that you know, it's demons and there's no, they don't believe in any other life anywhere. And my thing that I always go back to on that they never have an answer for is I always ask them, you know, that they believe that their God is all powerful, and of course they say yes. And then I say, so you're telling me that among the astronomical number of planets in our galaxy and the millions of galaxies in the universe and on and on and on infinitely, that he is only capable, or it, or however they want to, whatever they think God is, of creating life on this little speck of dirt we call Earth. And you know,
it's like God made the Earth in 7 days, and then he spent the past 4 billion years drumming his fingers and singing a little song. Oh, sorry, creationist, 4,000 years. Yeah. But
well, you
know, to get back to the demon thing, that the girl that was with me in my experience in Wales, she moved to Spain, and she was having real problems sleeping, and she was waking up with bruises and all kinds of things. And she went to see one of the local psychics, and it was a Spanish woman. And she basically said to her that she was surrounded by demons. Now, I said to Daniel, well, you do know that they're not demons, and she's misinterpreting the energy of ET as some sort of demonic thing, because it's quite dense and intense is their energy. So I think she attributed that kind of energy to demons when it was actually ET. But what she did was she tied a big rope around her waist and made her wear it for a week, you know. And this is how desperate people are to get some help now.
Right.
You know, that they'll go to such levels of trauma that they've had, that they'll go to any length to try and make something change about it, or, you know. So
you got that whole, God made us in his image, and anybody else, you know, that looks different from us. I get this too from religious people, that this is why aliens or demons and or grays or whatever, reptilians, whatever your experience are, is that they don't look like us. They don't look like God, so they must be evil.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
So yeah.
Of course,
so
you know, all that stuff just goes back to a book that man himself actually wrote. So
yeah.
Well, yeah. They gave their God all sorts of human emotions and tantrums and. You know, they tried to, do the whole revisionist thing, you know, and now he's a nice guy and not a murdering bastard, you know, like he was in the Old Testament, you know, so.
Well, yeah, that's one of our big arguments in the paranormal field, because we found absolutely no evidence of an existence of hell with any spirit communication, and we have thousands of files. And, you know, we always say, like, you can't have an all-forgiving, all-loving God and then another. And at the same time, have a God that's going to send you to an eternal damnation in a lake of fire, or however you want to describe it. You know, it can't be both.
It
can't, you know what I'm saying? It's one or the other. It can't be both.
Yeah, and plus you have a universe that is just incomprehensible to the human mind. I mean, you really can't. I mean, you really can't comprehend the universe, and what would be the point? I mean, what's the point of having it? What's the point of having it if you're just gonna have a little? I mean, we're like in terms of the universe, this planet is like bacteria or something. You know, it's like an atom or something like that. It's that small and insignificant. And
intelligent, sentient bacteria, which makes me think that at some point evolution
that's
we
true.
Could have an intelligent, sentient reptilian. You know, if it can happen to bacteria, it can happen to any life form. But I think that's essentially what we are. We are just a lump of bacteria.
Yeah, we're smart meat.
With other bits of bacteria and, all squishy, juicy, weird. And self-healing, it's all a bit mental.
Yeah.
Well, it's just unfortunate that people limit themselves and paint themselves into such a corner with their belief systems, mostly out of fear. You know, it's just safe to do it like that.
It's easy.
Yeah, and they're lazy, and they don't want to try to embrace the big picture. And even with the whole alien thing, you know, I think there's a definite dimensional aspect that plays into it. And, you know, people just don't want to try to get their heads around it. You know, they just...
I don't think it's laziness. I think it's cowardice, because to find your faith, you have to face yourself. You have to go inside. You know, you have to see how life unfolds and how your lessons and your curses become blessings and vice versa. You have to see it, to believe it, to feel it.
And
when people are following another doctrine that's already written for them, it's because they're cowardly and they just don't want to do that.
And I know some Christians that are like that, and they're true Christians. I mean, they don't have a mean bone in their body, and they're just so, you know, when you talk to them, it's just they're just wonderful people, you know.
Yeah.
And I
can't say that about every single person, but you know, there is that element to it, definitely.
And believe me, I could count them on a couple hand on my hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's talking with Brett after our last show, kind of a meeting to the minds, because me and him are a lot alike and a lot of the views that we have and that sort of thing. And it's very refreshing. It was like having a conversation with myself. So, Sasha, why don't you I know you got some stuff for Brett, and why don't you just kind of take over, and I'll shut my big fat mouth, and you can pick Brett's
brain.
I can
open my big fat mouth.
Yeah.
Well, it was quite for me, every time I hear somebody's about somebody's life and their events, I don't like to say a story because it sounds made up. There's always certain things that jump out at me. Ages, you were five, bright lights outside, all this kind of thing. You know, there was quite a lot of stuff that you said that, you know, about, I think, you know, there's kind of like ages where there's development, stages of development that they become interested in children because I think they're after hormones and, you know, certain things that only start kicking in naturally at a certain point in the, our development. So, yeah, there was just a lot of stuff. I don't even know where to start, really. You know, I did want to say to you, though, that, you know, when you said your dog that had been dead for quite a while appeared and was fussing around you and you just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. A friend of mine had a very similar event happen. And it also ties in with something else that you said about them saying that we are one. She was down. She went downstairs because she heard a noise. And when she went into her living room, a dog that she'd had a few years before, who died a few years before, was there, and she was just like astonished. And she was fussing the dog, and it was really real, and she could feel it its tail knocked a coffee cup off the table, which was still like that in the morning. But it kind of disarmed her in a way because there was something else there in the house, and it gave her a message. And what had happened was she'd become so kind of like involved with the dog and happy about the dog that when this other thing made itself apparent to her, she didn't completely freak out like she would have done if she'd have just walked into the kitchen and seen this thing. She was overjoyed to see her favourite dog. But what she wrote down, what you told her to write down was, all things are possible beyond the limits of your earthbound consciousness. Open your heart and your mind to see the truth of what I am telling you. If you seek the truth, you must have faith, believe in the universe. Learn to look beyond what your eyes can see and draw upon the ancient knowledge of your own inner being, your soul self. For only then will the truth emerge. Embrace it lovingly, for it is a destiny retrieved from time, your time. We are one.
Wow. And what did she see this being, or she just heard it tell
her? Yeah, she said it told her to get a pen and piece of paper and to write down what it was going to say, and she did. She just did it. You know, it's like you don't ever behave like you expect yourself to behave. When you look in retrospect, you know, when I look back at some of my experiences and I think, well, why did I say that? Why didn't I do that? Why was it complete opposite of how I should have behaved, you know? For example, I was thinking about something and my son came in from another room. I was thinking about how could I stop the aliens from messing around with my kids. And he came out of his bedroom and he walked up behind me into the bathroom where I was and said, you can't stop them, bummy. And I, instead of turning around and saying to him, who? I said, why not?
Mm.
And he said, because they're bigger than you. And then he walked away. You know, it's like, why didn't I say who?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, I mean, it's like, well, you know, that the, and I say this many times, I mean, the mental control that the aliens have over you, you know, it does cause you to react in a different way than you normally would, you know, because it just plays into it. People don't understand that's never went through it. I mean, that's why I tell other abductees, like, you know, don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed of stuff that you've been, especially some of the sexual stuff. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. You know,
yeah. it wasn't your fault.
You didn't willingly go along with this and participate. You know, this is stuff you're being forced into doing.
Well, it's like a rape victim feeling guilty, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is, and it's repeatedly, and many. Many of us feel like that and feel violated, and it's something that you really have to work on to overcome because you'll just sink deeper into it, you know.
But when you do, what you become is somebody who goes out there and says, hey, you don't have to feel like that anymore. I figured it out. I figured a little bit out, and look, there's a load of us now. You know, it, I think it's really important that people talk to each other, because this is something else that you said. It was when I started talking about what had happened in just one experience, one wake, you know, when I was awake with a group of people, saw two UFOs. You know, when I first started talking about just that, it was like an avalanche of all this stuff came pouring out, and I went to pieces, but it was like I ruptured. But then as I came back together again with this all inside me instead of all around me, because I was taking it in instead of rejecting it, and finding people like myself and, you know, comparing experiences or just even feelings, more importantly, that's when I got better. That's when I started to get better. And I think it's the only way that you can get better.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's what it takes. And I've had a lot of people that have had experiences contact me since the book came out, and I tell them repeatedly that there is people that will listen, there's people that will believe you. I mean, I went for over 20 years, kept it to myself, and it's just a horrible way to live. It's you know, suffering in silence like that, not knowing who to tell or what to tell, you know, that they're going to believe you. It's just the whole fear of ridicule. But that's exactly what happens. I mean, once you do start getting it out, I mean, it took me a while to even accept it. You know, I didn't even want to accept it. But once you do, and then the healing starts. And but it's very, very important to tell somebody, like you mentioned, there's, you know, there, especially talking with others who've had the experiences, and knowing that you're not alone in this. I mean, that's what many people feel like, that it's just a handful of us, and it's not. I mean, it's happening on a very large scale worldwide.
Absolutely. And the thing that I found is most important to people is to be able to talk about it without fear, you know, without the shame, and because the shame of it is the thing that stops people from talking.
Right.
And when they do start talking, it's usually because they can't take it anymore. So they're very fragile in the first instance. And then they go to the internet for the comfort, and that's where the damage really starts to happen. So, you know, I think that there needs to be these kind of umbrella groups like mine, where you can just come in and under the umbrella, and you don't have to be seen by anybody, you know, because it is so hard to deal with when you're fragile, especially you don't want to be laughed at, because you don't know how to laugh at yourself about it. You know, I can laugh at it all now. We can all make jokes about ourselves, but in the first instance, you can't do that, can you?
I'll have Gina chip in here. You know, the first 2 years that we were married, she didn't know about it. You know, I mean, I kept it to myself. Like, you don't want to bring your family into it. And kind of with the fear of that as well, like you talk about with your children, and you know, I didn't want, I didn't feel comfortable even, it was such a traumatic thing. And I didn't want to bring her into it, you know, you know, we went for like 2 years, and I guess, you know, she started noticing, well, you could talk about like the nightmares and stuff.
Yeah, early on in our marriage, you know, I began noticing Brent having really severe nightmares, and it would wake me up. And, you know, I didn't know what was going on, and I would wake him up because he just sounded so horrible. You know, while he was having this nightmare, it would scare me. And, you know, the first few times I didn't think anything about it. Then, you know, when he was having them, you know, monthly, but probably about three a month. And, you know, I just started, you know, something was going on. And when I would question him about it, he was very vague. He wouldn't want to talk about it. He said it was something that happened to him as a child, and he just wouldn't talk about it. But, you know, within a 2-year time frame, I just started piecing clues together, and you know, I pretty much knew what had happened to him. So I confronted him, you know, one morning and said, "Look, this is what I think has happened to you, and I don't want you to be scared to talk to me about this." You know, one of the other clues was that Brett has large scars on his back. And the first time I saw them, I asked him, you know, when did you have surgery? And he said, I never, you know, I asked him when he had back surgery. He said, I never had back surgery. And I said, well, were you in an accident? Because you have, you know, really big scars on your back. And again, in another time that he was just very vague, till he didn't want to talk about it. But so I confronted him like about 2 years into our marriage. And, you know, I didn't, it upset me that he didn't want to talk to me about it. And yeah, even though knowing that I've researched this issue most of my life, so it's not like I was someone coming into this and didn't know anything about it.
But it's like you don't actually want to bring it to life in the relationship. It's like I've done this myself. It's like you try to keep it separate because this is something that you've got that hasn't got that attached to it, because everything about you in your whole life is so saturated with it. You want to keep something precious, something that's not about that. And I think we all try to hold on to that for as long as possible, because there's a dark side to it as well. And then, you know, it's like the whole wall of emotions that you've kept inside yourself. You don't know if you're going to be able to pull it back if you let it all go. So there's a number of reasons why I think we try and keep our partners out of it.
When I decided to start talking about my experiences and stuff like that, you know, it's something that you churn in your mind for so long that when the words start coming out of your mouth, it's like a whole new experience. It's like you all of a sudden you're exposed in a sense.
But you live it again as well when you
And it's like and then people look at you like, what? You know.
Well, you know, Brett told me that, you know, for him, it was kind of a way to, you know, in his mind, he thought he was keeping me safe as well.
Yeah.
And but when he did, when we were talking about it, in my mind, I thought he had one experience. And I had no idea that he started, you know, telling me about a lifetime of experiences. And I was shocked. And the details of his experiences, I was just amazed. And I know, you know, your instinct is not to talk about it, but I can tell you that, you know, with him talking to me about it, and he has since, you know, of course, written the book, but talked to a lot of people about it, it's really been therapeutic for him. It's helped him. He still has the nightmares, but it's a lot less. A lot less.
Absolutely. This is therapy for me. It's somebody said to me last week, actually, after an interview with Thomas Reed, that when they listen to me, they can hear that I'm actually trying to piece my life together when I'm talking to all these contactees. Because it's all new to me as well. You know, I avoided it for so long. Didn't read anything, didn't want to know about anything. I didn't want to trigger any memories. Didn't want it all come flooding back, all the rest of it. And now, you know, I'm talking to people and it's a therapy for me. Then I pass it on to other people, so it's, you know, sort of shared. I think it's so important.
Sasha, I agree with you because, you know, even with him telling me, and when I got, you know, the full force of everything that had happened to him, that was one of the first things I said to him is, you've got to find other, you know, experiencers, other abductees, because it's one thing telling me, but somebody that's not had any experiences, but you really need to connect with other people who have.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it was like even writing the book took me like 2 years because when you mentioned about you relive this stuff, you know, when you start telling people about it, and that was like the most difficult thing because, you know, in a way, we do kind of like try to sweep it in the back of our minds, you know, and
it sets off emotional earthquakes inside you that you don't expect.
You know, I've suffered from depression my whole life, off and on, because of it. And like I said in the book, I mean, when it all surfaced, I mean, the memories were suppressed for so long. I remembered my first when I was 5 years old, and then after that, I had a couple things that, you know, like, when I was in my early teens, that maybe that was a strange dream kind of thing like that. But for the most part, everything was suppressed, and I ended up having these severe anxiety attacks just out of nowhere. And at the time, I was playing like steady as a musician. You know, I'm in front of crowds every night, and not the kind of person that really is going to have an anxiety attack. You know, and It got really severe, and I had to get therapy. But it was just like you mentioned earlier, it gets to a point where you can't hold it in anymore, and that's how it surfaced in me physically. That it started coming out in the form of these panic attacks, and it got crippling. And I went to two therapists. The first one wasn't getting anywhere, and even when I made a breakthrough with the second therapist, I still did not tell him what it was. I mean, that's how...
I did the same thing.
You did?
I told the third one. Yeah, I told my third therapist. I actually downloaded on this poor woman in a crisis centre for 4 hours, my entire life of it all. But I actually got so ill with panic attacks, my adrenal glands just would not shut down. So basically I was tripping all the time, you know. I put myself into a psychiatric ward, and they kept me there for 7 weeks, you know, because I was just gone completely. I had no coping mechanism whatsoever. Every noise was 20 million times louder than it really was, everything. Right. So over, you know, sensitized, just overload, complete overload. And that was my rupture. And then from there, that was about 10 years ago. So it's taken me about 10 years to rebuild myself to this point from then. You know, it's been a tough journey, but it's been very rewarding.
Yeah, it's a constant struggle, and what you're doing here is wonderful, and I know the group that you have. I mean, everything you're doing, and that's what I found for me as well, is like the two main reasons that I wrote the book was I knew I had to, like, and really Gina was pretty much responsible for it, because she kept encouraging me. You know, I would stop, I'm like, hey, I can't do this, you know, I can't get through this, and I would just go into these really deep depressions, and I would have to stop. And then she would kind of keep encouraging, and my friend Sandy Nichols, he runs Alien Research Group, and he's a contributor, and he's the first abductee that, and Gina actually found him too, and he was very cordial, and he kept encouraging me as well, and he was the first person that had these same experiences that I could talk to on the same level, like, wow, you know what I'm talking about, because you've been there. You've had, you know, they put you through this kind of thing too, and that kind of thing. You start to relate to people like that, and it really. And when I got through it and knew I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, it just felt like a weight had been lifted. But the two main reasons it was, I knew if I come out that I had a lot to say, I had a lot of detailed memories. And that was from all the meditation and the self-hypnosis and all the stuff, all the things that I worked on in therapy and everything has tapped into that part of that in my subconscious where all this stuff was at. And I knew that if I come out with a book that I could help bring more public awareness and acceptance to this, and especially to be a voice for all the people that were like me that kept suffering in silence for all those years, that I could sort of be that voice for them as well.
Exactly. That's my motivation. Exactly. Yeah.
And I encourage all of us to do that, because it helps not only us, but it helps the public to be more accepting of it and realize that, you know, it's a complex thing that's going on, but it's real. And it's been going on for quite a long time to quite a large number of people. And people need to know that to get the courage to come out. And because, you know, I think a lot of it shows up in addictive behavior. And it's really the root cause. You know, I've kind of went through that a little bit myself at one time. Because it's sort of escapism. And, you know, you see that and you can become a victim to it. Or you can learn to empower yourself here, and like we're doing, I believe. And
I think you do become a victim to it. You become a slave to it, and then you just get so sick of yourself. You do something about it, and now it's like I think, well, okay. Sometimes it's really frightening. Sometimes, you know. But when I look back, it wasn't that bad. Just the fear of it. And every time something happens, I just turn it on its head, and it's not negative anymore, because I've turned it around and I've handed it out there, and other people have gone, I've had that, and they've come to me. Because like I said to these people who say to me all the time, oh, thank you so much and blah, 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 and I go, look, if I didn't have you, I'd be on my own as well, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing to do. That's exactly the thing to do, is to take what you can from it, from the positive things from it. One of the things that we'll, I guess we'll get into later is, and I don't know about you, but the paranormal started soon after my first abductions, and you know, I spent my childhood just scared out of my mind because I couldn't understand it, why I was constantly have all these hauntings and spirits contacting me. I became clairaudient. I was hearing them. You know, I would tell my parents, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, go to bed. You know, it was one of those things. And I wrote, and that's why I wrote about several of them in the book, because there's a strong connection there with a lot of abductees that this happens to. But what I have done, and I really think that it happens because of this dimensional shift, I've seen it, that we're getting taken through these dimensional portals.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I think our vibrational rate gets increased, and we come back closer to the spirit world, because I believe from our work, we've been in the paranormal for a very long time, and we believe that the spirit world is in the realm of the spirit world, vibrates at a faster frequency, and we come back, and we're like a beacon to them. Most of them are seeking out help, and so they we're the ones that they sense, and once they realize. I know a couple of abductees that are full-fledged mediums, but I've used that and turned it into a positive in my adult life to help people here in our realm, but also to help those that have transitioned that's seeking the help because they know I can hear them. Of course, yeah. Now with technology, I've got file after file where I said somebody just said. Whatever, get out or something, and we'll catch it on tape, So
yeah.
Backing up, so now and people have a little harder time calling you crazy when you have the actual perfect,
Yeah.
But that's one of the aspects where you can take something like that and turn it into a positive, and then also you like you're doing and I'm trying to do here with the book and talking to people that I've been talking to and just being a voice and also being an ear to listen.
That's one of the most important things, isn't it? People want to be able to just talk. I know when I first started talking, because I started talking, I wasn't really listening to anybody. I was just talking at everybody because I needed to get it out, And then I realized that I wasn't learning anything, and I realized I wasn't learning anything because I wasn't listening to anyone. And you go through all kinds of different stages and phases, and I recognize mine in a lot of people that I talk to as well, so I can see that these things are like, that you've got the various stages of grieving, and I think there's various stages that I'm beginning to recognize as a pattern in the healing process. And so if I see somebody going through a hard time, I will say to them, this is part of it, and the other side of this will be this, and not try and stop that from happening, because it's actually part of the healing,
Yeah, you have to get to a level of acceptance, and that was one of the things that even now, the sleep problems, because I kind of dread, a lot of times we have paranormal stuff happen, which is pretty, I'm into the point in life now where I basically I'm not an idiot when it comes to like fear, but I don't have any fear. What could possibly scare me?
Exactly. Yeah.
Not only paranormal wise, but in the abduction scenario. And so generally, like when we've had full body apparitions by our bed, and basically I just start talking to them. Or we both will, you get to that point, you have to overcome the fear, and you have to accept it, knowing, and that's one of the hardest things for me now, and part of the fear that I have for Gina is, Are they going to take her? And I'm sure you're probably dealing with the same thing. These thoughts have entered your mind. You know, are they taking your children? Or are they taking?
I know they are for a fact.
yeah, we talked about and that's upsetting, very upsetting, because I personally wouldn't wish this on anyone. You know, people say, well, oh, you know, did you ask him this? Did you ask him that? And the Space Brothers and blah blah blah. And when it comes to the grace, that's just not the situation. You know, I always joke and I say, look, it ain't like we're sitting around having fireside chats. You know, when this stuff's going on, you have very rare opportunities to ask anything, and they're going to answer what they want. And then even then, you don't know if they're messing with your head. So
yeah, that is true. I did have an interesting incident with a friend that I hadn't seen for a while. I've had experiences at his house with his family a few times, and he was ill, and I knew he was ill, and I had them telling me that he was ill, and I had them saying really weird sentences to say, things like, they said he needs to spend time with humans, help the boy, things like that, you know. And it turns out that he was really quite poorly, and he'd been, isolated himself. And I'd not spoken to this family for 7 years, and I said to them, back to them in my head, I can't do this. I can't turn up to that woman's house and tell her for the past 7 years all I've done is talk about their family and how much my experiences with them have changed my life, when she had no clue. To unload all that onto her about her son as well. And then I said, you better engineer something so she gets in touch with me, because I just can't come out of left field and hit somebody like that. And about 2 weeks later, she got in touch with me saying, oh, hi, I don't know if you remember me. I was like, oh, my God, don't even remember you. All I've done is talk about you for 7 years. So, you know, there's this kind of like three-way communication thing goes on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how that works.
I sense when I'm around somebody else that's had these experiences, that I'll give you an example. Like, there was a time, you know, we do presentations every now and then, and we were doing for a local ghost group. We went up and talked about EVPs and stuff and electronic voice phenomena. I'm sure everybody knows, but.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know, what, 25 people there or something like that. It wasn't a real big presentation or nothing. But while I was talking, this was, for some reason, felt, there was a woman in the back of the room that, I really got the feeling that she was an abductee. I just felt very strongly about it. Didn't even know who she was. And lo and behold, Gene and I were, a lot of people were talking to us afterwards, and she left. We didn't get to meet her or speak to her or anything, but a mutual friend of ours, happened to know her. We were just having casual conversation and something got brought up, and he told me, he's like, yeah, she's mentioned to me that, you know, she's had experiences. So, you know, have you found that, like, where you're able to sort of, you know, if you get around somebody that you like, there's some sort of
totally.
It's
got to be something on a kind of, I don't even know, really, on an energetic level. I had a woman, right, when I first started talking about it, I ended up writing for a magazine called UFO Data Magazine.
Yeah.
And my next door neighbour, one summer, I was just stood out in the back garden, and we always just said hello, how are you, talked about the kids, whatever. And, you know, we were chatting for a little bit, and then she said to me, do you know, I saw 7 UFOs once. She said, they flew over there like that. She said, my son were with me. And she said, and he was in the house, so he comes out and he starts telling us about these 7 UFOs that they said. I was like, so I said, why are you telling me this? She went, I don't know. I said, do you know what I do? She said, no. I said, I'm a UFO researcher. She went, you're not. I said, I am. You know, and when my son, when somebody comes to my house, my son will go up to him, and if there are experiences, he goes up to him and he goes, do see the aliens, and he never does it to people who don't. So I will agree with you there. Yeah.
You know, I've shut myself off a lot, and so I don't. I don't know, like on some personal level, I don't just connect with a lot of people. And that's by my own design because in my paranormal experiences, I always draw the name that affects people around me. So I tried to shut that down. But people come to me, like you know, they'll just come up to me and just know that I'm a person that they can talk to about stuff like that. I mean, I had a vice president of HR in this last company I worked with just walked up to me while working on our computer, and she's like, "Do you believe in telekinesis?" And you know, I'm like, I have this
random out of the blue.
I mean, I just stood back and I'm just looking at her. I'm like, because if I'd have brought it up, she could fire me for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's like, I have this incredible connection with my twin. I'm just this type of person that a complete stranger can come up and talk to me about anything. And I'm not going to tell them they're stupid or, and they just get that vibe. I get it. People come up to me, I'll be standing there and people, all of a sudden someone will start talking to me in the store. You know, just some lady, you'll just, you know, and it's just,
yeah, I guess, you know, if people just, you know, like Sasha was talking about, maybe, we emit like this energy that people are picking up on and they just naturally sense that, and they want to release for these kind of things that are happening to them. They don't know, but when they were around somebody like you guys, and the same thing happens to us like all the time. You know, we get told like, it's just shocking. You know, the stuff that people will come up and say that we're, it's not what they're saying is shocking. It's that the fact that they're telling us, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, we got about a minute before we go on break. We're talking.
I've had two spooky happenings this week, so we can talk about them as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we'll be back in about 10 minutes, and you know, the hour's going to go by pretty quick. So
see you on the other side.
Yeah.
Get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah.
Yes, I can. Not gonna leave. I'm running with this plan. Me, grab me, grab me, and they can't have me. I'll be the president one day. Damn, we'll be first. Oh, you like that gossip? Like you the one taking what gossip.com. Now I got a word for your tongue. How many rolling stones you want? Yeah, I got a brand new spirit. Speaking of new dawn. Roll up on the side of the bed like I won. Talk like the wind in my chest and that's gone. Deep down in the U.S. to Taiwan. Now who can say that? I want to play back. Mama knew I was a needle in a haystack. Oh, body boy, just play back. I got a feeling it's a rap. Hey, sound.
Get a good feeling, yeah.
I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before.
No, no, I get a good feeling, yeah.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah. I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before.
No, no, I get a good feeling.
The mountain tops walk on water. I got power, feel so royal. One second, I'ma strike for you. Diamond, platinum, no more for you. That adrenaline, never giving in. Giving up, not an option, gotta get it in. Witness, I got the heart of 20 men. No deal, go to sleep in the lion's den. That glow, that spark, that crown. You're looking at the king of the jungle now. Stronger than ever, can't hold me down. 100 miles, feeling from the bitch's mouth. Straight same face, it's gang day. See me running through the crowd, feel a melee. No trick way, I'm still gay. Take a team, I'm understanding.
Oh,
get a good feeling, yeah. Get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
PowTalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, hmm. My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Whoa! Did you hear?
Listen to the Church of Mavis radio show, hosted by Jeffrey Pritchett, 11 p.m. Eastern, Saturday nights. Follow your weird journey into the high strange. Be sure to stop by
www.churchofmavisradio.com
for upcoming shows, paranormal news, and show archives. That's
www.churchofmavisradio.com.
Tune in to the Mind Cemetery with your hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway, mindcemetery.com.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I've been everywhere.
Join us for Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, August 9th through 11th. A weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. A weekend of films, panels, lectures, and workshops will feature leading experts, including George Noory, and many more of some of the most important theorists and scientists in the field. Enter to win a free ticket at contactinthedesert.net. See you at Joshua Tree Retreat Center in August for Contact in the Desert, 760-365-8371.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our 3-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network. To UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Fabulous conversation with Brett Oldham on the Citizen Sane radio show. We were going to move on to some more spooky stuff, weren't we? Because you two were chatting like old friends when I missed out last time because I had hoodlums at my door. Hooligans.
Well, there were hooligans on the radio too.
Yeah. Hooligans at my door causing trouble. And it's quite interesting, really, because I used to live in quite a non-Desrose when I lived in Leeds, and if something like that had have happened, they'd have gone, you'd have rung the police and you'd have gone, they'd have said, well, have they gone? Ring us back if they come back and kill you. Well, here, there were like three cop cars, about 25 police cars, and the helicopter out for an hour. It's like, ooh, no, we're posh now. So, yeah, that was what was going on with me last time. So I missed out on all the fun and all the conversation. So the paranormal stuff, you know what you want to talk about because I wasn't there.
So, Brett, Gina, why don't you tell our audience about when you started getting into the actual paranormal side of things and how you started putting together the whole – because me and Brett talked about earlier that we both view the ghost, afterlife, alien, that's all in one kind of bucket. You know what I mean?
It's, it's all extraterrestrial. It's not terrestrial, is it? So.
Yeah. It's and I hate when you categorize all that stuff because then there's all this other stuff that you just leave out and don't think about. You know what I mean? You got to kind of
– yeah. It makes
breathe
the point
it all
of some
in.
Things, but it dilutes a lot of other stuff, yeah.
Right, right. So why don't you so Brett, when did you guys start really going full steam ahead into your paranormal side of things?
Well, both of us, even when we met, that was one of the things that we really had in common a lot because we both have been like reading and researching and doing paranormal work. Well, actually, both of us since like childhood, you know, we were both reading and interested in all that stuff, and not just one particular genre. Oddly enough, I mean, it was, and then we had both of us had experiences. So we've been married like 6 years now. I'm glad I got that right.
Oh, you're in trouble now, buddy.
Oh, I got it right.
You got it right for you to think about it for a minute.
Anyway, moving on. We didn't want to join like a paranormal group and like all have like matching T-shirts and, you know, 15 people and all that kind of stuff like that.
It's not politics.
Exactly. It's just not us, you know. We're kind of like do our own thing type people. And so we're just like, well, you know, we just come up with Halo Paranormal. And that was just us. And what we do, we'll do stuff on our own. We will go with other people on occasions. We do have some core people that we work with quite a bit. Actually, a couple of the Brent Rains and Sandy Nichols contributors to the book. We do a lot of stuff with them, depending on where it's at, and we will go different states even, you know. We did Ohio, Alabama, of course Tennessee, Illinois, so Kentucky, you know, so we'll drive a ways if the case is good enough and do it. So
yeah, worth it for the experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it just depends. It depends on what's going on and what it's all about. But we've basically we've investigated about everything that there, I mean, jails, funeral homes, old hospitals, plantations, on and on and on. You know, so.
Have you ever done an investigation where you felt that maybe you had lost control or weren't in control of the situation?
I don't think so, no.
I think that's an important thing. That's why we're so selective with who we investigate with, because I'm really big I'm very aware that I know that I have a very strong energy, and I use that to protect me and Gina. And I think it's, you know, Brent Rains has a theory on those of us that had these experiences and have this increased energy frequency can actually, it's called seeding. And if somebody's around us long enough, the energy, you know, they start feeding off that and increase their energy as well. And matter of fact,
like a networked firewall.
You know, and he even said that he's been investigating for 40 some years, and he said he never got a EVP until he started working with me and Gina. And he attributes that to, you know, the energy feeding, and now he's getting all kinds of stuff. And he's even got into the instrumental transcommunication, the ITC work, which is basically any form of spirit communication through an electronic device. And so we just got a reputation of being able to go into locations and come out with just loads of EVPs. And then we kind of got, about how long ago we get in, maybe 3 years ago, we got into, we heard about, it was called, you know, Ghost Box or Spirit Box. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
4 years ago. And we met a guy at a convention that told us about it. And we were pretty skeptical because we're also not people that just fall for everything that comes down to the pike, you know.
I was quite impressed with that. I was quite intrigued with it, should I say.
Yeah, and we was like, well, this is worth, you know, you got to have an open mind with everything, because how else do you know if you don't open to it? And in this case, we tried it, and you know, it was interesting. At the first couple of times, it was so-so, and then we learned more about it. We had people recommending and not to do it, like, oh, you're gonna get all kinds of demonic stuff coming at you. It's like Ouija board times 10. But again, I think, you know, we knew how to protect ourselves, just like we still do. I fear absolutely nothing, nothing. And we I think that anything that's dark actually senses that, And if it wants to tangle, then fine.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm
pretty strong.
So, you know, let's go. And so we kept at it, and we were recommended to get a spirit guide on that side. So we're like, okay, you know, we'll start asking if somebody wants to help us on that side. And the first guy was named,
I think it was Philip was the first guy.
This name Philip kept coming in, and he didn't stick around. We used him for about two or three weeks, maybe. And he disappeared, and we're like, couldn't find him anymore. And, so then we got this guy, we kept hearing this name Bishop, and Bishop is still with us to this day, 4 years later, and shows up. He basically helps us find other spirits that we're looking for, but for, most importantly, he lets us know if something dark does come around. I mean, we've been told through this that they're, you know, I'm a demon. We've caught EVPs like that, and they're just basically trying to scare us. But
yeah, they're just people, you know, whatever on the other side saying, trying to scare you. Because I, you know, we talked about this. You know, if I'm on the other side and if I have the opportunity, I'm going to mess with people like crazy, and I'm going to give, I'm going to giggle my ass off while I'm doing it too. You know,
that is the feeling that they get, is that they're just, you know, even when they say it, it doesn't even sound, I don't think, that serious. You can tell they're just, you know, trying to get a reaction from us, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've heard them through the spirit box cussing each other out. I mean, this proves, I mean, your personality, you know, your soul essence, it carries on. And
yeah. You don't become a fluffy light being when you've been an asshole all your life.
Hopping on the Galaxy Federation of Light, you know. Get your little decoder ring and your ID card and
just run through the fields of flowers forever. You know, it just doesn't. It's not quite that simple. And you know, they want to all talk once they realize that we can actually hear them. And we've picked up countless stuff. We did a show in Canada. With a guy named Richard Surrett was the host of the conspiracy show, and it's a television show on CBC up there. And he was a little bit, maybe not quite on board with it. And so we ended up sending him, like, we call it the, you know, the cuss word file or whatever. And it was like, you know, I mean, not only were we getting our names, which of course, like, you know, what's the chances of that to begin with? I mean, both our names, not just one or the other. But when you get your name and it's preceded by a hearty FU in front of it, not really radio, you know? And so we sent up a bunch of files like that, and we got one in particular that's a classic that two guys were attempting to get our attention, and they got into it with each other. And I'm talking, this is coming, you know, through radio waves. It's not the radio. We use software. They're coming in on the white noise between – the thing scans so fast it doesn't stay on more than a millisecond, right. Couple milliseconds anyway. And we're getting like full sentences sometimes. But these guys, one of them says F you, and then another different voice from a male says F you back. So, you know, there's some.
If it's like on the radio, you have to beep it out so you even have to sense of the dead.
Yeah. But we've just got, there's so much stuff that we've got information from people's loved ones. You know, they've recognized the people's voice. We've had people, we've learned stuff about people that we probably shouldn't know.
Rather not know.
You're going to tell them. No, you're going to tell them. You know, so that's the software. Because in real time, until you get used to it, you might only hear about 20% of it. But as you get more used to doing it, you start knowing what to listen for, and you can hear it better. But it really does take a lot of analysis, you know. And I've went to school for recording engineering, and you know, we got studio equipment, and I've been in the studio a lot of times. So we've got like nice, really nice monitors and things like that to run stuff through. But we've learned a lot of little audio tricks running through the software to bring it out, to enhance it, slow it down, clean it up, that kind of thing like that. And, boy, we've just got some amazing stuff.
Well, do you have a website where you have stuff where
we've got samples on our YouTube channel, and sometimes on Facebook, Halo Paranormal, and also on YouTube, we put some of our full voice regular EVPs up there, and then we put our last. We just put up a Spirit Box one 2 or 3 weeks ago that's just got some great stuff on it. We occasionally have asked for famous people, and Nikola Tesla is one of the people that we really idolize, and he was the first person to publicly claim, not only did he actually pretty much is responsible for radio, but there wasn't radio around, so whenever he was getting stuff, and he says he was hearing,
yeah,
you know, he's not hearing radio, you know.
And no, yeah.
And matter of fact, he even publicly claimed that he was, he felt he was getting signals from aliens. So that was pretty profound, especially, you know, back in the day. But Thomas Edison was working on the same type of thing. You know, he called it the telephone to the dead. There's a lot of debate whether or not he ever got it built before he died, but he made quite a few public comments about the that if the spirits were going to communicate, it would definitely be through radio waves.
Yeah, so, and he stole it from Tesla anyway.
Well, a lot of people, you know, unfortunately stole stuff from him. But
yeah. Didn't Tesla actually – he gave all the credit. He's like, I'm not the smart one. I'm just relaying the information that I'm getting. You know what I mean? I'm not making this up. He like gave things from the other side all the credit, didn't he? I think he did.
Well, yeah. You know, there's a lot of speculation that he had alien intervention with some of the stuff that he came up with. It was just so far ahead of his time. Just now really being recognized for it. But
yeah.
The file that we have, last one we put on YouTube, we actually asked Bishop, our guide, one time, if he could find Tesla. And if he could he have Tesla say his name? And we got a pretty interesting response on that. Which is on the YouTube channel. So, you know, we got the name Tesla back, and it actually was with an accent. So we don't know if it was, you know, we're not claiming that it was actually Tesla, but if it was, somebody doing a good impersonation job, you know.
What's your YouTube channel?
It's just same thing, Halo Paranormal.
Okay. Hey, have you ever there was a documentary that's on Netflix. It's called The Afterlife Investigations, about a British society in the 90s that did this, like, 7-year study on the paranormal.
Fabulous.
That was just absolutely
amazing.
They brought in these scientists to go ahead, come on, try and disprove any of this. And there was, like holographic stuff from, you know, from the 1800s. They would just produce stuff, you know. It was insane.
Yeah, they had apples and everything falling out. Skull experiments or something, I believe that was called.
And it was anybody listening, go out and check out the Afterlife Investigations. I was just, you know, I was thinking it was some religious thing, and I was just blown away that I hadn't even heard of it. You know, it was just, and it was.
I definitely recommend anybody to that's interested in this to watch that documentary.
Yeah, it really opens. It really blows the door open. First of all, it really came across that they thought all of it was just really cute, the people on the other side, and they were, and it was just like. you know, okay, we'll play along.
So have a sense of humor. I mean, we went to a hospital 4 times now. It's an old hospital that's abandoned. That's one of the most haunted places we've ever been, and that's why we keep trying to go back. But it's getting in pretty disrepair right now. But we've ran into some pretty funny stuff in there. that I remember a couple of times were one in particular that we opened the door and said something like, you know, some regular thing like, is anyone in here? And we got an EVP back that says, no one here. You know, I mean, so, and then. And
yeah, they're in there playing cards or something, smoking cigars. And
yeah, we went there so many times that these are not spirit boxes. These are actually regular EVPs that we were walking down a hallway, and I caught an EVP where a female says, hi, Brett. Like, she recognized me from being there before. And you were, we caught one where a female says, those pants look good on you.
Yeah.
So,
nice package, Brett.
We brought something home one time that was really enamored with Gina, that really refused to leave. We cleansed our house three times, before we got rid of him. So, you know, they can take a liking to you too. So.
Yeah, that's what I get, but I don't get the nice ones. I get the ones, you know, pushing me down and throwing change at me. And
well, we've been, I mean, we've been touched and pinched and things like that. But maybe up in Ohio is probably you got the.
Yeah, I had my jacket tugged. We were at the Anchorage house in Marietta, Ohio. Great place. But I had my jacket tugged on the side, and it was. I had a flashlight in it, so it would have been really hard, you know, to lift it, or, you know, I was just standing still too, so I know there was nothing that, you know, that I snagged my jacket on, but I thought Brett had leaned over and, like, you know, tugged on it to get my attention, and when I asked him, you know, if he did that, and he was like, no, you know, so I knew that, you know, something had tugged my jacket, and I think we had just asked, you know, to, if you're here, you know, please give us a sign or touch us or something, so that was a definite sign. So I got my.
Yeah, and you never get used to that. I'm sorry. No, I mean.
It is.
Well, I don't know. I don't think, like, with certain things you react to in different ways. Last year, when I first started seeing Dave, and he was living at his mum's place, and they had this kind of, like, flat in the back, we were kind of laid in bed, and it was a full moon, and the moon was coming down through the window. In this diagonal stripe was the light, and I was sort of like facing Dave, and we were talking, and I saw this big ball of light appear behind him, and it just popped and flashed, and he jumped up, went, oh, the security light, and he's looking out the window, and I'm going, Dave, that's the moon, get back into bed, because he gets really scared of all this stuff, and he got back into bed, and I told him what I'd seen, you know, and I knew I'd seen it, because he reacted to it, and he added back to it. But then two nights ago, not last night, night before last, laid in bed and I'm reading and I looked, something caught my eye, and I saw this little light appear and it kind of flew along the curtain going like down and up and down, you know, up and down like a sine wave. It had a little tail and it was just this kind of like bright yellow light that just flew across my bedroom. And even Dave saw it. He looked at it as well. I was like,
"Well, yeah." It really depends on the amount of energy that they have to use. You know, of how far they're going to manifest. I mean, you'll get like that. You'll get like sort of the misty forms that you know something's there, but you really can't make out full form of it. And then sometimes it'll be the full body stuff. You know, we've captured I think maybe four times now. Full body apparitions on film. One of them's coming up, a fabulous one. We're going to be on that show, My Ghost Story, and it was a case up in Kentucky. And we caught, we didn't see him, but the camera caught him. And it was a little boy. And man, it's just, he looks like he's dressed from maybe the early 50s. And the place we were at had been a boys' school during that time. But it had a long history. It had been, we caught a ton of stuff in there, but every now and then, you know, you'll get that kind of thing too, just depending on what kind of what they have to draw from.
Yeah.
My dogs used to creep me out. I'd be sitting there watching TV and they're laying in front of me on the floor on the rug and my cat's over on her little thing and I kind of just look down at them and they're all just looking right over my head. My head's to the stairs and I'm like, oh man. And I would just say, like you were talking about earlier, how you just talk to them normally and it's just like, come on, man, I'm watching TV, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, and it just dawns on me, yeah, that's why I'm starting to get agitated, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. And, yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, I would watch TV in the dark, and I'd have all these little lights from, like, internet modems and, you know, computers and stuff like that. And I'd be sitting there watching, and I would look out, I would change my eye and look over to the right, and they're blocked out. And I'm just like, you're crowding me, back off. And then all of a sudden the lights would reappear.
You know, we have
these were the shadow people that took up residence in my house. And it was something that started, I had a hard time, in the middle of the last decade, 2003, 2004 with the job market and everything. I lost my job. So I'm like, well, I'll start tearing off these five layers of wallpaper, you know, that sort of thing. And I started doing a lot of that, and that's when, the really hit the fan. And I just stopped. You know what I mean? It was just like all of a sudden all the urge and everything to do all that just immediately went away. It was just like, stop what you're doing, you know? And it just gradually got worse over the years. It wasn't something, it wasn't like in a movie where it's like, you know, over a week, couple of weeks, and you're getting, yeah, and you're bent over backwards and you've got chairs thrown at you. It's not like that, you know. Well, a lot of people thought I was like that anyway, but, you know, so, yeah, you know, I get that.
I've had a lot of things going off around my son. His bed's shaking. I've seen things kind of half in the room, half not in the room. Yeah. I've been there when he's really into space and everything, so we always have lots of space stuff. And he had all these glow-in-the-dark planets and stars and everything. And I'd have to lie with him for him to go to sleep because he wouldn't go to sleep otherwise, and even then he'd wake up a lot and sleep with me a lot. A few times I've been sat in the room and it's been so densely black, and there's a street light outside of the bedroom, so it's normally got that orange glow about it. I can make out furniture and toys. Even the glow-in-the-dark stars have stopped glowing. And one time I was just sat on the bed and I was like, there, you know, like thinking, am I really seeing this? Is this my eyes playing tricks on me? And I'm sat there trying to figure out whether it's my eyes playing tricks on me or if what I'm seeing is really happening and everything's gone dark in the room. And I can see sort of three lumpy shadows. But then there's like a scalloped top to his curtains where you can see the orange from the streetlight, you know, like little bits at the top of the window, and all of them disappeared apart from one, which then lowered, and it kind of went down and to the right, and then up, and then across the right, and then down, and then, you know, like a light was outside the window scanning, but the whole window had just gone black, you know, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm seeing this, or if this is my eyes and my mind.
I've had my neighbor ask me if who was in my house while I was at work.
I just think, what could that be outside my window?
Well, they're seeing him walk, you know, behind the shades, and it's pretty nuts.
You know, Brent and I have this little dog, His name is Patch because he only has one eye, but he's very, very ultra sensitive. He only weighs about 8 pounds, but he's kind of our like spirit or entity or being detector, because whenever we bring something home or something's visiting us, he knows it, you know, and he'll go into a growl or like what you were talking about, Guy, he'll just, you know, stare off at something. But he's really, we made a little T-shirt for him that says, I see dead people.
Yeah.
Because he's so sensitive. So, yeah, he's our little detector, I think.
It's kind of unnerving.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You get to it, though. I mean, we've had about every kind of thing you could possibly imagine. I mean, except, like, you know, we haven't been, like, lifted up and thrown across a room or anything like that. But we've had, like, all the covers pulled off our bed, and of course all the lights and the doors, and they've taken they were prone to taking spoons for a long time that would completely disappear. They move stuff.
We've had objects, like we hear objects falling in the house all the time, but when we go investigate, we can't find anything that's, you know, dropped or
yeah.
Fallen
yeah.
on the floor. So that it's,
they threw Gina's wedding ring across the room. She's came home and laid it on the top of a jewelry vanity, and we walked in the room a few minutes later, and it had been tossed halfway across the bedroom, you know, a good 8-9 feet, and just all kinds of stuff.
I've had a lot of little things like that as well.
Well, you know,
constant.
A lot of times, though, we don't look at it at like a lot of people do, where they're like, oh, we're haunted, because we found on most occasions that they're trying to get our attention because they need help. And that's just it in a nutshell. There's just a case in point, like, you know, I sometimes not only hear them in a whisper, I'll hear them in full voice sometimes. And there was a before we moved in this house, we lived in a townhome in another city outside of Nashville, and they were new, these townhomes were. So not the type of place you, even though we tell people this all the time, ghosts are everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It doesn't have to be some, you know, yeah. a really old location, although that usually is a reason for all the history and stuff will make a place haunted. But
they're stuck in a place in time. It doesn't matter what is constructed on that spot
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
we lived along the Trail of Tears right on it. And
wow,
we had a lot of stuff happen because of that. But this particular, I started hearing a lady's voice, and it was frustrating for me because I couldn't make it out. She kept saying like a sentence to me, and Gina was home the first time, and it was always in the master bathroom, nowhere else. And maybe she felt that was a more quiet place to try to get my attention or something. I don't know. And so the first time I asked Gina, did you just say something to me? And she's like, no, I didn't say a word. And then it happened a couple more times. And the other two times I was by myself at home. So finally I started talking to her, and I was like, I'm sorry. I cannot hear what you're saying. And I told her, I tried to explain to her, we're going to do a spirit box session. And I said, you look for a guy named Bishop, and he's going to tell you how to do this, and you tell us what you need. I will do what I can to help you. And so later that evening, when Gina came home, I said, well, we're going to do a spirit box session, but we're going to do this one in the bathroom. So
nice.
Yeah. So this is going to be a little bit different than the normal procedure.
Hanging out with the potpourri and the...
So we set it up on the, you know, on the sink, you know, by the sink, and sure enough, we caught her, and it's in the file. One clip of the session is in the file on the last YouTube video that we did a few weeks ago, and I asked the lady that's been contacting me, can you tell us your name? And she comes back and she says, this is Birdie. And, of course, Birdie, you know, I don't know if that's a nickname or it's just a really old name that isn't used anymore. It's not very common. But she answered immediately. So she went on to tell us that that she was lost and afraid, and she didn't know what she was supposed to do. That was pretty much what we find time and time again. That's why they're trying to come to us, and that's why I was talking about a lot of abductees who even went full-fledged into mediums, because you know they're getting the same type of things, and they tell me they find the same things. And so many people, I was like, look, you know, I'm not saying there's not dark stuff out there. There, we usually say, you know, if you were a jerk, and that, I'm just trying to be, you know,
that's not the word we normally use.
Yeah, this life, you're usually that carries over, and it gets enhanced on the other side because they get bitten, more bitter, and it feeds on it. You know, negative feeds on negative, and positive feeds on positive, and so it increases a lot. And I think a lot of demonic stuff gets blamed for stuff that's really just people that are being jerks, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, they start running around in packs, you know, they got their little gangs and they got their little jackets.
Well, you know what?
They go gang up on somebody and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
We'll hold children. We've found this so many times that a child be the same thing, not exactly for some reason. Well, we could tell you the reasons, but then it's going to open up a whole religious thing as to what causes a lot of spirits. But that I just did. So, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just told you what causes it. But they will hold those kind of spirits will hold children and weaker. You know, weaker spirits like that that are confused and lost and don't know where they're supposed to be or what, hasn't made the complete transition. And we found that actually the place where we caught that picture from the little boy, because when we were walking around there, this goes back to the psyche thing, we were with a group of other people. We'd been invited up there, and Gene and I said, we're going to walk this place by ourselves if you don't mind. And we did, and as we were walking around, we were talking to each other about sensing children in the place. And sure enough, that we caught quite a few EVPs of children, caught the picture of the one, and then I had like 12 straight minutes of K2 interaction, intelligent K2 interaction, with what we believed to also be children, according to the questions we were asking. And this place had no power or anything, you know, and there was no reason for other than spirit to get any kind of a false reading on this thing. So that kind of stuff does happen. You know, they will there's dark stuff over there that will hold other spirits from progressing like they're supposed to.
It's a power trip. Maybe
ouch. Sorry. Go on.
Maybe they. I'm sorry. I was muted like an idiot. Talking for an hour.
Probably me. I do that to myself all the time. You know.
Yeah, you know, people. There's people in regular life, well, in physical, like we are now, that maybe were victimized or put down or bullied and stuff like that, and they always fantasized about being the alpha and being able to. You know, do that to people, you know, like to have that control over people. And I think when they that bitterness and that whatever carries over and they find that they can do that and bully and get people back, I think that could be a lot of it, too. You know, like trauma and stuff like that happened here.
They carry
that over if they don't deal with it. You know what I mean? If they just don't – if they just let it fester and just – you know, and they take it out on the noobs, you know, on the newbies that come over.
Yeah, and the more it goes, the stronger it gets. So, you know, it can. I mean, there is, you know, there's stuff out there you have to watch out for. But if you have faith in yourself, in your belief system, whatever that is, and take the proper precautions, then. Like I said, you know, I just don't see what anything's what's going to happen to anybody. You know, I don't.
You know, yeah.
Well,
Once you get to firewall your own mind, when you get that confidence in yourself and your own abilities and the flow of things, and you realize, I have not actually engineered getting to this point. I have been carried along on some sort of subquantum kinetic wave. That you just have to, sort of like trust everything, and I think.
Yeah, I mean, since I've been basically, like you, Brett and Gina, I had all this stuffed way deep inside. I wasn't dealing with it in my life, and it was coming out. And you know, the late 90s is a complete tweaker blur. You know, alcohol and drugs and just partying and just. You know, I went through those stages, and then I started doing these shows, and it's like with Sasha, it's my therapy. But I feel that I need more, and so you know, I'm actually worried about if I die, what am I going to take with me? Am I gonna just be this, have all this baggage, and am I gonna be bitter? Or, you know, what's going to happen? So I'm actually being proactive, and I'm planning on getting into therapy, and because I want to get back to what you guys are doing and exploring that more like I used to, but I want to have all the right tools. I want to be better prepared. You know what I mean? I don't want to have.
You don't want another full circle ahead.
Yeah, I don't. I want to have. I want to do it the right way and give out the right energy, because it's not only my belief, but just what I've saw, just what I've seen, and my own personal experience is that if you carry around a certain type of energy, you're going to get that back when you are dealing with this type of phenomena. That's just the way it is. If you're an idiot. And you're confrontational, and you're like, oh, you guys are a bunch of idiots. Come on, come at me, you know, that type of crap. That's what you're going to get. And
yeah.
You will eventually get your ass handed to you, and you will. And
yeah,
you may not even know it.
I always say be careful what you ask for. You know,
yeah,
people always ask me and Brett, you know, have we been attacked, blah, 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 blah. Well, no, but we don't, you know, go asking for it either. I mean, we respect the spirits. We're very respectful. It's just like going into someone's house. You don't go into someone's house and you're rude to a person. You know, that's a lot.
That's literally what you're doing.
Yeah. And why would you do that? These people
yeah.
were people just like us. Why would you go in there and, you know, just be rude unless you
that
felt like you were
being attacked
or something. Yeah. We're always very respectful, and we get a lot of, good responses. We've never felt the need to go in and antagonize.
Cause a ripple in time.
Yes.
Like the that is so pathetic.
I would be in another room, like in the kitchen or something, and I had this change bowl that was on this computer desk, and all of a sudden I'd hear change drop on the floor. And I would yell from the kitchen, I know you're going to pick that up. You know what I mean? I'm not picking that up. So after a while, there's change all over the floor, you know, and then I'd be walking out of the room and a penny would hit me real lightly on the back of the head and bonk, 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 you know, on the floor.
Yeah.
And I actually was talking to this woman named Wendy Adams. I actually kind of started doing a show with her about a year ago, and she's a psychic. And we're in the middle of a conversation, and she just starts laughing. And she's like, I'm getting a guy with long blonde hair, and he's laughing at you about the change all over the floor. And I realized that was an old buddy of mine who had been killed, and that he was my – he's been with me for 20 years. And he was really pissed off at me. That I didn't pick up that it was him, and that I was doing a lot of stupid shit in my life. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He was trying that's his way of trying to get your attention to try to help you.
Yeah, yeah. And
most people would look at that and like start calling priest in, you know, thinking that they had. That's the problem.
My first thing was when I was talking to her, I said, "Hold on." I muted her, and I'm like, "Dude, you dick. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I talk to him all the time. You know, I've had my headphones tapped on since I've been here, you know, and a few other things. And it's,
yeah,
I'm pretty confident it's him. You know what I mean? So I don't get all freaked out about it and that sort of thing. But I mean, you can't really have that conversation with a coworker or something like that. You know what I mean? Or I'm walking out of work and I hear guy. And I mean, it's loud, like somebody saying my name right next to my head, and I turn around, and then I hear, ah, ah, ah. And I look at the guard, and I'm like, what? And they're like, he's looking at me like, what? Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, Brent, and we have our conversation a lot around the house is, did you just say something? No, I didn't say anything. You know, we constantly do that back and forth because we hear so much.
Yeah, and what you were talking about, the whispering, oh, my God, I was on medication. I was on all sorts of things. I just kept hearing this incessant whispering. And a lot of times it was like a conversation between people that you could barely hear.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
It's not like really they're talking to you.
Yeah, and it's like finally, listening in on a cocktail party or something.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, I just got so irritated. I quit taking the meds because it was still happening. I'm like, I can't hear you. Speak up or shut up because you're driving me nuts. I mean, I can't go to sleep. I can't because that's all I hear, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, for God's sake. Just shut up. 10 minutes. Shut up so I can go to sleep and talk.
Well,
but I don't have those voices out here, though. I had them there. But it's one of the first things I noticed after I got here that I no longer hear those voices.
Huh.
Have some crazy other things happening, like opening my eyes when I'm asleep and all of a sudden, fuck, I'm not breathing. You know what I mean? Like there's something on my chest. I've had that a few times. But
that's like the old hag syndrome that you know, a lot of people talk about. You know, they'll wake up and they're being suffocated, and they usually picture an old hag of some sort, you know, some ugly old lady, you know, trying to suffocate him. But
I'm really agitated. Like when I wake up, it's like I have this extreme agitation. There's no way else to convey the, you know, the feeling. It's gone away. I don't have it anymore. It could have been some sort of anxiety that I was experiencing. From like suddenly being ripped from all that, because that's what it felt like when I moved out here.
Mm.
I was sick for a good couple months physically, because it was like I was just uprooted from a paranormal type of thing. It's really hard to explain, and that's when I realized how just messed up I was. You know what I mean? Like,
and I think that happens, you know, all the way around, you know, from the abductee thing to the overlapping with the paranormal, because you have to get to that point, and then, you know, it's like a cleansing that you have to go through, and then from that, you know, you start empowering yourself and building upon that until you get to, like where I'm at, you know, like where it's like no fear, and you have to like let a lot of it go, because there's no other way.
You know, and I think a lot of my problem is that I don't have any fear either, and I think that was part of my problem. I didn't. I was just like, oh, I'm not afraid of you. Do your worst. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was my.
The difference is I'm not afraid of you. What do you need help with? That's where I'm at. You
exactly.
Know? I don't instantly go to negative stuff because I think negative stuff's actually afraid of me. And
right.
And I just don't, you know, I'll walk around super haunted places alone. It just doesn't bother me because I'm really the whole mindset, me and Gina both, like she said earlier, you know, is respect and you know, of course, we've ran into stuff that's threatened us and stuff like that. But it does when you get threatened and you get played with, like what you're talking about, and they know that it's affecting you. They feed on fear. That's just what it is, right there. And it only gets worse. And when they realize, like, they're not getting anywhere, usually they're gone.
So. Yeah, I had a lot of negativity around me from other outside physical normal influences, you know, an ex-wife, stuff from work.
Recognize that.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And I was trying to deal with everything by myself, and I was just turning into this curmudgeon, you know, basically.
Yeah, once again, that's the negative feeding, you know, feeding on the negative, and it's just gonna snowball till
and that's what it did. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, when you got that, if there is anything, you really become a beacon for the stuff that we're talking about. And there is entities out there that's never incarnated in the flesh, but you know, I don't know if we.
Listen,
I don't know if we could go so far as saying
aliens. You know, you talk about other life on other planets. They die too, probably, and they have energy and they go someplace.
Sure.
So you know, we could be, you know, you could be dealing with if something that hasn't lived on has been human before. It could have been an entity on another planet somewhere or something like that. You know what I mean? Like a reptilian or I don't know. I don't have any answers.
It's just a complex, it's so complex and it is dimensional. You know, it is dimensional. It's dimensional overlap sometimes. And when you're dealing with that, you know, it gets just more and more complex.
Right. Yeah. But you know what? It's one of those things where you are always learning something. You know what I mean? It's not like you can just sit back and go, oh, okay, that's it. You know what I mean? You're every time you go into, like for me, I'm going into a new phase. I'm humbled. I don't have an ego. I'm aware of my surroundings. I'm aware of me and that I need to do some work if I want to continue to expand my knowledge and stuff like that. Because when I was younger, I mean, younger, like teenage and stuff like that. I did my own ritual. I made up my own stuff. You know what I mean? Mm. And, you know, that's when I was physically pushed to the ground. I had a cat that was with me when all this happened that got messed with. My actual window, and the foot deep of oak leaves outside my window were churning up from footsteps, and then this growl that you can just not even think to duplicate or put into words, you know, crescendos right as and stops right as something hits my window, and my window is all of a sudden not my window anymore. It's not glass. It's something else, and it's bowing out at me. And then it just comes back, and it's like this weird deja. It's like a deja vu moment. It's not like you're watching it, but it's like I don't know how else to explain it. It's almost like a seizure, you know. And after all this happens, I'm like, whoa. And all of a sudden, I hear this ripping noise, and I'm like, what the hell is that? And I turn around, and it's my cat tearing the carpet up, trying to get out of my damn room. He's like, yeah, it's like,
so careful what you ask for, like Gina said earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I was a punk ass kid
all the time, right? And that's usually the case, like with Ouija boards. All the time, you know, you go somewhere and they'll have some anywhere from, you know, 12 to 15 year old, 16 in the house, and they're like. Usually Gina does a lot of the interviewing and stuff, and she'll say, you know, when did this activity start? And they'll say, like, 6 months ago. And then she'll say, do you have a Ouija board? Yeah. When did you get the Ouija board? Oh, about 6 months ago. You know, and the thing is, and it's not – a Ouija board is pressed cardboard and a plastic planchette, you know. It's the intention behind it. And you could sit down and just write on a piece of paper or something, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's when you open yourself up to it and you're asking, it's once again, be careful what you ask for, because that's the lower realm stuff. That's just, they love that. It's like, oh, let's get this person. They're going through puberty. They're at a weak stage. It's just easy pickings. And, you know, so that's what they go for. And all the time people think, that it's basically from the use of the, it's the intention with the, it's not any, the Ouija board is no kind of magic thing or anything like that.
No.
But it's just your intention. I mean, you sit around and you ask for stuff like that, especially at that age.
I actually thought it was cool at first when everything started happening. And I think that pissed it off. I was just, because I wasn't scared by all its little parlor tricks. And I was just like, this is cool as shit, man. Look what I did. You know what I mean? It came, you know, whatever this, you know, I'm like, it came, it's here. And I'm just like talking and, you know, I'm like sweating, and then I can see my breath looks like cigarette smoke, you know, a foot away, and it's just all this wackiness, you know. And then it started. I was giddy as hell, you know, and then it escalated very quickly, you know. And I was like, hey, wait a minute, you know, why is my cat, you know, doing somersaults down the hall? You know, and that's when I got really, really pissed off, and I invoked Jesus' name, which was completely hollow. It was just this hollow, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? It was just, and boom, down I went. And it was like, I can't explain what it, you can't put into words. It's, you're pushed down, but it's not like somebody hit your chest and put you down. It's, I'm not even going to try and explain. And I got up, and I tell you something, you guys, I was absolutely furious. It was just like this thing rose up in me, and I said, you mother effer, get the F out of my house, or I swear to fucking God. And I punched the hallway wall, and I said, I'm going to kick your ass. I was screaming at the top of my lungs.
I have
boom,
done that
stop.
So many times.
It just stopped, just like that. You know what I mean? And I was basically saying, yeah, and in my future doing that stuff, because now I'm thinking I'm a badass, and I'm like, you know, look, I'm God here, you know, you can just, you're nothing, you're nobody. And then it was a whole I didn't respect them type thing. You know what I mean? And then they just changed their tactics.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my daughter came out of the room, her bedroom, one night when I was carrying on through her house. I did a cough behind me, and I thought somebody was in the house. I went and searched the house, nobody there. Went back upstairs, sat at my computer. The cat came running upstairs, really weird, freaked out, jumped on the windowsill, and then just went sideways out of the window. And, I was completely freaked out about all of that, and I forgot what I was going to say now. God, my brain's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I lost my mind when he was messing with Sammy, because that cat was like, it was like my brother. I mean, it just went everywhere with me. I'm serious. It was like 30. He was like 30 pounds, and he was just this magnificent bastard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I can run you back in the house shouting, get the F out of my house now.
She lost my mind.
She comes out of the bedroom, she goes, what's up? And I went, oh, nothing. She goes, I've just heard you say, get the F out of my house now. I said, oh, you know, I'm just talking to the air, it makes me feel better. She went, all right, then, went back to bed.
All right. Right then.
And the cat is like got this big bald patch on his head because he's fallen from, like, I lived in a 4-story Victorian terrace, and I was in my bedroom, which was in the attic. So he'd gone out of the attic window, and it looked like he'd been pushed, you know, because he went sideways.
Oh.
And I did this cough behind me, so I was just completely freaked out. So I'm telling everything to get the F out of the house, and my daughter's heard it. It's like, oh, nothing. All right,
you
then.
Know. You do have to take authority, though. We do have the authority in our domain, you know, the domain of the living. And
yeah,
people
authority.
Yeah. You can always get rid of stuff. Always.
Yeah.
And it really does go back to a lot of it being the mindset and what you actually believe you can do, because they know whether you think you can or you can't. And that's one of the most important things. And believe me, they're a lot of times they're just as afraid of us. It's like it's fear war. You know, who's gonna win the fear war?
It's all a lot of it's a lot of just bluff and bluster and like a Cold War. You know, like saber rattling.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, Hollywood and even some of the ghost shows and stuff that are on TV, they play up on that whole aspect of it so much so that people just have this warped sense of what's really going on.
And, yeah, it's all just creative editing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we went to see when that movie Paranormal Activity came out, and everybody was like raving about it and how scary it was and blah, blah, blah. And we went there and we're just bored to tears, you know?
Right. Oh, dude.
Nothing like that. Yeah, you'll come to my house for one night, yeah.
I was like, really? Really? This scares you?
Yeah.
Oh, you should come to my house.
Exactly.
We've got 2 minutes, guys. 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So, Brett.
Why don't you guys, why don't you guys give all your links and all your stuff.
Well, to the book, which is called Children of the Greys, by the way, and it's with an E, Greys with an E. It's available exclusively on Amazon. I've got print version and Kindle version, and I have a website, childrenofthegreys.com. It has a lot of information and a book trailer and all that. If you want more information about it. And you can find Gina and I for our paranormal work. We had a webpage for a while. We took it down. We just pretty much use Facebook now. So just look us up on Facebook, and we keep up with a lot of our paranormal stuff that we do there. It's just Halo Paranormal, H-A-L-O Paranormal on Facebook. And if you want to hear some of the EVPs and the spirit box work we do, just do a search for Halo Paranormal on YouTube. We got 8 or 9 videos up there, quite a bit of really good evidence.
Fantastic. And the book, the cover of the book, that child looks like my son about 2 years ago when he was 3, when he started telling me about the aliens.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That we didn't get to talk about that, but that was actually a hybrid that was presented to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole story's in the book. I go into a lot of details about all the incidents. I put photographs of the scars in there. My brother, Jeff Oldham, actually did that depiction, and he did some sketch work for me of a couple of the events that I had. So, you know, I tried to be as detailed as possible, and even at the risk of embarrassing myself on some of the stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to
it's
get
not an embarrassment though, because you know when I reveal my underwear in public, if you like, it resonates with a lot of other people who
right.
you know it's deeply personal to them as well. So you know they're grateful, and then because it's that way, and you've revealed that, they feel strong enough to come to trust you at least.
Right.
Yeah.
You said something. It pulls people out. You know that honesty. I think it's really important that you know we don't bare our souls ultimately, but we do have to. You know, kind of put ourselves out there in real honesty. You know,
if I was going to talk about it, that, I had to talk about it all, and that's what I did.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. I'm still figuring it a lot. I've not had any hypnosis. All my recollections are my recollections. I don't know if I'm ready for remembering anymore.
Same here. I haven't went through any kind of hypnosis for the abduction things. They either were conscious memories or came through, in dream state, but, I didn't do the therapy, we didn't go there, that because I didn't tell them about them. So, and I didn't want anybody ever saying that a therapist, you know, led me one way or another or anything like that. And a lot of it was just, when it came to the surface, much of it was just conscious memories, you know.
Yeah, same with me.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm strong enough to deal with anything that might come up. My main event in 1997, I've only got recollection up to a certain point, and every time I go back to it, which is one of my oldest accounts, I can't remember any more, but I can remember more of the more recent ones. So I'm really scared of what might have happened in that first one because I won't let myself remember it.
Yeah, I think I don't remember, you know, on the scars things, and I think some of it's just so traumatic that our brain just protects us. Maybe some of it's better just to to leave there.
Yeah, I would agree.
We appreciate you having us on.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys. It's been lovely to talk to both of you. I think
it's been a blast.
We should do it again in a few months' time and see what you're up to then, and maybe let Gina talk a little bit more.
I tend to just really run my fat mouth when I'm in talking about this subject and stuff like that, because it's literally just consumed my life, and I've had, like, when I do therapy here in the future, I'm not going to be talking about paranormal and stuff like that, because that's what kind of like what this show is for, and talking to you, Brent and Gina, and Sasha. This is my therapy, having these conversations where I can talk about it and not have somebody sitting there thinking, well, he must have been on, you know, he must have did an eight ball of meth and was the shadow people were crawling all over the roof and stuff. You know what I mean?
So, hey, we've all been there, and you know, you're doing the recognized that you need to progress, and you're doing the right thing, and doing it takes a lot of courage to do that, to admit that, and it takes a lot of courage to do it too. So I commend you for that, and I think you will do well and keep progressing.
All right, thanks, guys.
We are
Citizen Sane Radio, and you are listening to us on UPRN 107.7. I actually did that. I remembered to do that.
We actually have remembered to plug anything to do with ourselves. Don't we?
I know.
And then we go, oh my God, we didn't mention the website, we didn't mention the YouTube channel, we didn't mention anything that I'm doing. No.
Whatever.
We never promote anything. We do an advert for the show about 20 minutes before it goes out for Facebook. So rock and roll, aren't we, Guy?
It's pathetic, you know. But that's how I roll, man, you know.
It's rock and roll, man.
All right, guys. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Night. Good night.
Night.
Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome.
Thanks for the